This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, it's the second hour of Upstate Outdoors. You're listening to Philip Gentry and Boat Girl.
Hey, now.
On Upstate Outdoors. And we did Upstate Outdoors blog, talked about smallmouth fishing, and then we talked to our buddy Marty Robinson.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, yeah. And I tell you what, his kids are going to be better fishermen than I think.
His kids are hammers.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah, they are. And then we went from there, and we talked about some items, some suggestions you might need for new rifle scope. And during the second hour, of course, we got the Roadkill Cafe, and Boat Girl's got some shrimp.
Got some shrimp.
Shrimp Boat Girl.
Yeah.
So we'll get into that. And then we're going to give you a coastal fishing report. This is from CarolinaSportsman.com. A lot of folks going to the coast this time of year, so we got the coastal fishing report for you to find out what's biting right now. And then we're going to talk to Jake Bartley, the lead singer from the Jake Bartley Band. Good old country boy.
That's right.
He's been around the upstate for a lot of years, and did a great show this weekend down on Lake Greenwood. A lot of folks went down there and listened to that. And so we'll talk to Jake, and then we will wrap up this week's show, the holiday show, 4th of July show, with a calendar of events and our parting shot about 11-foot alligator. So stay tuned for that. But in the meantime.
All right. This week's recipe, I actually got off of Mercury Marine's website. They have a
using motor oil.
No motor oil. Mercury Marine on their website, they have a blog called the Dock Line. They have got good recipes, good tips, all sorts of just good little side notes. And I was just scrolling through, actually looking at something else, and I saw this this article and this recipe about, you know, what do you eat if you catch and release? And they were talking about eating bait. Just like we were talking about eating white perch last week. And there's a cute little article about eating your bait. But this week's recipe is spicy skewered scrimp. Bait shrimp. It's easy. 2 pounds of extra large shrimp, 10 to 15 count, which those are the pretty big ones.
Yeah.
And then the marinade, which this is pretty easy too. Half a cup of olive oil, 2 cloves of garlic minced. I really like fresh garlic.
Yeah.
Tablespoon of fresh thyme, tablespoon of fresh cilantro leaves, chop both of those, jalapeno pepper, seeded and chopped. Remember taking the seeds out.
Yeah.
It's not quite as hot.
Yep.
Teaspoon of paprika, teaspoon of salt, teaspoon of honey, which is interesting, and then 1 teaspoon of ground cumin. Another teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce, a little bit of cayenne pepper, a little bit of red pepper flakes. So what you're going to do is you're making a marinade. With the olive oil, and soaking the shrimp in the marinade for about 30 minutes. I double skewer shrimp so that when you are turning them over on the grill that they're not all flopping around.
Yeah.
We also soak the skewers because
in the
wood ones
so
will catch on fire.
Yeah.
Flaming catch on fire. So skewer your shrimp up double, let them marinate, hang out for about 30 minutes, and about 3 minutes aside. We're going to make those tonight.
Awesome.
Yeah. We haven't made these yet, but it looked delicious, so I was looking for something to cook this weekend.
We got bait shrimp. We're not going to use that bait shrimp in the freezer, are we?
Nah.
Stuff's been frozen for about a year and a half.
I think we're going to use those. We're going to go buy some local fresh shrimp. Because, you know, the shrimping's pretty good right now for commercial guys down at the coast, and prices are probably down this time of year.
And, you know, I love to go shrimping.
Yes.
One of my favorite things.
And I enjoy it, too.
It's very simple. One of my favorite places to go shrimping is down at Georgetown, down after Marina. You go down there with about $100 bill and a cooler with some ice in it, And I open the door and I go, hey, guys, I'm here to go shrimping.
I have to tell you.
And they say, how much do you want?
I've got a brand hammer new set of fancy pants shrimp poles that have never been unwrapped.
Those yellow ones.
The yellow ones.
The yellow fiberglass poles.
Man,
well,
they're nice.
The thing about shrimp, talking about shrimp, we're going to get on this and then talk about some more coastal stuff. The thing about shrimping is a lot of folks are not, you know, shrimp baiting has a season. I mean, you can go out and you can blind cast a shrimp net, you know, to catch bait or to do whatever.
Right.
Anytime. Actually, I think they got a season when you can't.
We'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
But baiting for shrimp is seasonal.
Baiting for shrimp. But a lot of folks I know now don't even fool with trying to bait for them.
Man, it's a lot of work.
They're doing deep hole shrimping. And what they're doing is they're taking – it's kind of funny when you talk to somebody down in the lower part of the state. You know, they're like, you know, we got these depth finders now that we can actually mark the shrimp on the bottom. And they're like, wow. They're like,
I want somebody to teach me to use my depth finder so I could see shrimp on the bottom.
I mean, we got depth finders now that the folks inland in freshwater, I mean, they've got their depth finders dialed in. It's like – not only can I tell you, what if there's shrimp on the bottom or what's on, I can tell you if he's in a good mood or not. I can tell you if he's smiling.
Successful deep hole shrimping is kind of like fishing for spots.
Yeah,
you know, you got to find the holes and you got to know where they are. I don't think you'd be successful if you were just going out there blind. Take some graphing.
I've been shrimp baiting, and that's that's one of those things. I remember when that first started, you know, down around Charleston. I was in college down there at the time, and there were people. I mean, when it took off, it was like and there was no regulations on it.
Right.
And, man, they were people getting in fist fights about, oh, yeah, this is my area, and I got it staked off and stuff like that. And now it's kind of waned. I think maybe the shrimp, maybe they don't respond to the bait like they used to. I don't know how that would be possible because you're basically talking about a whole new crop of shrimp every year.
I don't know. I think it's a lot of work. I mean, there's a lot of preparation to getting bait, and there's 100 different recipes to make shrimp bait.
Yeah.
Dog food, red clay, fish meal. I mean, we did it when I was a kid a good bit.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd always have a freezer full. But, man, that's a lot of work.
I tell you what, when I was in college down in Charleston, we used to use a seine net for them. And now you got to have.
You got to have a permit for that.
Yeah,
now, don't you?
We didn't have all that then. Matter of fact, now you can't have a pocket in the seine net. And that was the big thing, was you got this big pocket and everything. You're going down a creek. And I mean, we would walk down the creek covering the entire creek.
No, I don't think
everything
you can do
in that creek went in that pocket.
Mm.
Including about, back then it must have been an 8-foot shark, but it was probably more like a 4 or 5 foot shark. Got in that pocket one night and
shark wrestling.
We didn't keep him in there very long.
No.
Yeah, he tore that net all.
I was about to say, he probably tore the net up.
Yeah, yeah, that. Yeah, I mean, we actually thought we had hit.
Oyster bed or something,
because it stopped moving. You know, we're pulling it. You go along. We thought we'd hit something and. Man,
not
all of a sudden
so
it took off. And it didn't turn and come back out. A lot of times you'd have stuff bumping and turn and come back. And that booger didn't.
I'd like to learn a little bit more about deep hole shrimping.
Yep. Well, we're going to learn about coastal fishing because I got a coastal fishing report from CarolinaSportsman.com right after we go to our break.
Cool. So, it's kind of salty right now then.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Salty. And so we'll get into that. Right after these messages.
Right here, 106.3 WORD. Y'all stay with us.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, this is the time of year when a lot of folks are going down to the coast on vacation or whatever.
Yep.
And they want to find out what's biting. And fortunately for those of you, the Carolina Sportsman has got a pretty decent coastal fishing report. And this is published by our buddy Brian Cope.
I like Brian.
Old Brian.
Great guy.
Lives down on Edisto. And he writes, as the summer weather continues to heat up, so has the fishing off South Carolina's coastline. Whether it's offshore, nearshore, inshore, anglers are catching plenty of fish and a big variety of species. And he says, hard to say which one's the best right now.
Looking at some people down there, some friends, Facebook pictures, I would say the cobia is lit up.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now.
So you got that season. I think the season's already, or the time when you can't catch them is over with.
Right.
So now I think they can catch them.
But they're actually catching.
But that's, so you're talking about a near shore species there with
right.
the cobia. You know, I'm really surprised that people are still catching trout. Because usually I always think of trout as being a cold water fish.
Spring.
And, you know, spring and fall,
fall.
It's when it really heats up. But a lot of folks are still catching good trout. Captain Addison Rupert with Low Country Outdoor Ventures. He's been spending days on the near shore structure. And they've been catching spade fish.
Really?
And redfish on the near shore structure.
So almost like a fall pattern?
Yeah, something like that. Well, not the spade fish.
Well,
spade fish, I don't know. I don't know if they migrate up or not, but I've never seen spade fish any time other than in the summertime, in the hot weather. So I guess maybe they do migrate up. And he's catching mostly overslot redfish and a few keeper fish.
The bull reds hang out there.
Yeah.
You know, most of those are going to be overslot at near shore reefs.
And just like you said, there's still a lot of cobia around. And he's been catching his share of those. And, of course, you're also going to have the sheep's head and the black drum. And
which is pretty much an always.
Yeah. Yeah, the sheep's head. I mean, the big run on the sheep's head comes on the near shore, you know, during the wintertime when folks go out there and, you know, I say wintertime, more like, yeah, January, February, that's when they're spawning. That's when people really get out there and catch
so
a lot of them.
It is so cold out there, January, February.
Well, and then the other thing about that, too, is the weather.
The wind's blowing.
The wind's usually blowing, so you gotta, if you got a trip lined up, you don't know if you're going to go or not.
Right.
But you know, the weather's a little more predictable now. You're going to get some afternoon thunderstorms, but for the most part, you know in advance what you're going to get.
Sure.
So they're doing those. There's also a lot of good inshore, according to Low Country Lazy Charters. Again, they've been catching spade fish, and they've also been catching the inshore slam, redfish, flounder, and trout around Kiawa Island. And said some days they've been catching huge numbers in a variety of sizes, and on other days the bites have been a little bit slower, but it's producing larger of those three species. And
typically speaking, like the Merle's Inlet area,
yeah.
It is flounder season.
Yeah.
It is time. If you're going to catch them inshore in the creeks and stuff, that would be now, July.
Yeah. And that's when a lot of folks start trolling and
flounder trolling
and stuff like that. Of course, I got a buddy down there, Jay Bache, with I can't remember it. I think it's Catch One Charters or something like that. And Jay absolutely will not troll for flounder.
Why is that?
Because it's like every flounder in Merle's Inlet has seen a mud minnow come sliding by.
Sliding behind a
and
John
he's
boat.
Like, you're never going to catch a decent size one. Because he said a lot of those fish, because they got to be 14 inches to keep. And he said a lot of those fish were caught once or twice before they got to 14 inches, and they learned.
And they will not have
I'm
any
not
part
eating
of it.
That.
You know what? I could see that, though.
Yeah.
You know,
kind of train him up.
Train him up to not bite.
He'll go cast on a point, but he's going to cast jigs and stuff like that for flounder. Stand up jigs. The stand up jigs. I want to say football jigs, and some of them are
the kind
football.
With the flat bottom.
Yeah, they got the flat bottom on them. Now up around the coast in you know where you get up there around Little River, according to Salt Fever Guide Service, they've been catching a lot of king mackerel up there. Those have been coming inshore. I read that along the shorelines and on the piers, the Apache Pier had a great week a couple of weeks
they
ago.
Had a big one.
Yeah. And also, of course, when you're going to catch the king mackerel, you're going to catch Spanish mackerel too. And the offshore fishing, they've been catching a lot of snapper, a lot of grouper, a lot of trigger fish. That's another fish you only see when it I think they stay out deeper and they come in shallower when the water gets warmer.
I have not heard a lot about the mahi-mahi bite this year. Most of the time that starts around Memorial Day and does real, real good through, you know, third week of June or so. But I haven't seen a whole lot of reports on mahi-mahi fishing.
I will say this, though. I think the Governor's Cup wound up. They had their last one, I think, about a week ago. And I don't know if they got one more left or not, but they caught a good many sailfish and a fair number of marlin this year.
Really?
And usually when that fishing is good, then the dolphin, the mahi, the dolphin fishing is pretty good.
Huh. Especially maybe I just haven't heard.
Especially those marlin come in because they're, you know, the mahi are eating the
they're all eating the same stuff. And
the flying fish,
the tuna with the mahi.
Yep. So, the folks at Carolina Hook and Line Company in Merle's Inlet been catching cobia, just like Boat Girl was talking about, king mackerel, Spanish mackerel. Inshore, they've been catching a lot of quality flounder. Black drum and redfish have also been frequent inshore catches. And when they're going offshore, they're catching plenty of snapper and grouper. So that's your, you know, your head boats. If you go out of either Shim Creek or out of Merle's Inlet there.
You're looking for grouper.
Yeah, well, you're looking for grouper, but you're going to catch a lot of black sea bass.
Lots.
You're going to catch a lot of vermilion snapper, and then you're going to catch a variety of, you know, just whatever's
out
stuff.
There swimming.
Yeah.
All of which is good to eat.
Yeah. And of course, a lot of at this time of year also, if you're fishing inshore, just like Boat Girl said at first of the show, you got a lot of coastal sharks out there. I mean, did you see the video about the behind the shrimp boat?
Yes. It was literally a feeding frenzy.
Yeah. They're pulling in a net and the water, you know, you'd expect it to be kind of churning up with what's in the net, but there was more activity outside the net when it was just like shark and shark on shark on shark.
Pile of them.
Just a pile of them.
And the sharks are close right now. I'm obviously, don't go near the water. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
The sharks are close. Just be mindful of when you're swimming in the ocean.
Yeah.
Nothing in the early morning, nothing in the late evening. Because that is feeding time. And this time of year, they're close. I mean, I've seen them in 3 feet of water, you know.
And they really don't have any interest in you. But it's like you said, having, you know, not going first thing in the morning, not going late in the evening. And then also look out. If you see a lot of signs of life, if you see birds diving or if you see a lot of, you know, dolphin flipping
and
around.
And you can see bait fish in the water.
If you see a lot of, I'm talking about a lot of bait fish,
mm-hmm.
then you're probably going to have sharks in there too.
Yeah.
So just steer clear of that.
I mean, the chances are so slim to none, but still, but keep an eye out for them.
Yeah. That's what I'm looking for. I want to see them out there. I'm not going in the water. I'm going to be fishing for them. So, there you go. So we're going to go to our break now, and then when we come back, we're going to ring up our guest, see if we can get Jake Barkley on the phone, and talk with him. And, man, it was a big 4th of July celebration.
That's
so
right.
We'll look for that and be back right after these messages.
Right here, 106.3 WORD.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, welcome back. Upstate Outdoors. And we talk about a lot of stuff here on the program. And I may be stretching a little bit because, you know, we're not a country or even a music station at all. We're a talk radio station. But
we're spreading our wings a little bit.
That's
here.
Right. Boat Girl and I had the opportunity to – we were at Lights at the Lake – and heard the Jake Barkley bands, and they were here in Simpsonville earlier in the week. So
yep.
we We got Jake.
I'm like, hey, those look like cool people. Hey, that looks like a cool guy. Let's talk to him on the radio.
We need to get them on the radio. So we got Jake Bartley on the radio with us. Jake, welcome to Upstate Outdoors.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Now, I tell you what, you have been, I mean, looking at the tour event, I mean, the stuff that we already said, you know, you're not resting at all. Actually, tonight you're going to be at the Iron Horse Motorcycle Lodge up in Robbinsville, North Carolina. You got a bunch of big guys with you for that.
You know what they say, there's no rest for the wicked. Well, that's the truth, man. My wife and I have 7 kids, and we got the band life, and I got a little farm down here in Hodges. So between all 3 of those things, man, there is not a lot of downtime.
Holy cow.
Wow. And got another one at T.W. Boone's July the 11th. And then the Jazz Fest. That's something I'm really looking forward to, the Jazz Fest up in Seneca at Ramcat Alley.
We're definitely going to come to that.
Yeah.
You know what? That's a great time. I did my first one not too terribly long ago, and it was just super cool. I mean, you're in that neat little alley area, and people come out, and they come out to have a good time, and that's what always, you know, those are the places I love to play, man, where people come out with a mentality of, hey, we're going to come have fun. That was one of the spots. So
tell me this. With seven kids and a farm and your band, how do you have time to hunt and fish? I mean, you had to squeeze a minute in there somewhere.
You know what, man? It's one of those things where I have to keep my fishing license on me all the time because I might just have to be riding down the road and see a spot and stop and fish.
You're not taking rods in the back of the truck, are you? Because no, I've been known to do that. But
I thought about it, but I keep ruining my rods, so I had to quit doing that. All my rods ended up as pieces of rods.
Ew.
Yep. So, but you know, with 7 kids, I mean, that'll happen too. They like to use my rods as they like to sword fight with them every once in a while and stuff like that. So I've had to downsize my rod collection.
Wow. Now, speaking of that, I mean, I guess you got pretty close to the lake last night. That was with the lights on the lake there at Lake Greenwood. I mean, that's how long have you been doing that?
This will be, let's see, number 6, I think. I did the very first one. It's so weird because it was the very first Lights on the Lake, and it was also the very first gig as the Jake Bartley Band. And I had a couple of different members at the time, you know, so things have changed over and stuff like that. But, the first Lights on the Lake was the first Jake Bartley Band show, and it has rolled on since then. So this one was number 6, and we always have a great time. You know, it's a good time waiting to happen, in all honesty.
And you got all those folks out there in the boats and everything. You know, it kind of reminds me of a Jimmy Buffett concert. I don't mean to steer you.
It's a lot like one, man. I love it. I look forward to this show every year. It comes up and it pops up on the calendar. I'm like, oh, boy, we're about to have a good time, man. We're going to sweat, but we're going to have a good time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, definitely hot. And so how long have you guys so you said it was, what, 6 years ago you started with your own band, the Jake Bartley Band?
Yep. So we've been officially the Jake Bartley Band for 6 years now. I guess different incarnations of the band have been around a little before that. But before that, I was with a band called the Swingin' the Dice from here in Greenwood.
Okay. So just, you know, it's really, I think back to a lot of artists who, you know, we're in other bands. It seems like when they put their name on the band, that's when they took off.
I really hope that's the case with us.
Yeah. So a lot of local stuff. How far do you guys travel now to do your show?
Man, as far as the phone call comes from, we basically cover the Eastern Seaboard right now. We play from Pennsylvania to Daytona. And we do all of them on a fairly regular basis. We haven't moved west very much yet, but that's the goal. You know, as we kind of creep into the Midwest and then even further out. And that's our value. So that's kind of our goal right now. We're definitely in an eastern band right now, but we're trying to move as far west as we can.
Yeah, and it would, you know, I would hesitate to say that you guys are a country music band or you're a rock band. I mean, you guys are...
Kind of an everything band.
Kind of a soul kind of thing. Because you guys got a a wide repertoire of songs that you play.
We do, and I think that kind of came about with the backgrounds of the players in the band. Everybody came from such different tastes in music coming up. You know, country, I like R&B and soul. My drummer likes rock and roll. And my bass player, he's kind of into the college rock stuff, kind of more jam bandy stuff, you know, Dave Matthews and such as that. So it's just funny that we kind of threw it all in a pot and turned the heat on, and this is what we got, you know. It's hard to, you know, it's when we got on our label, Bonfire Records, they had a time trying to figure out how to put us into a category, you know, put us into a genre. So we went with Americana because it's one of the widest genres you can have. So we're technically an Americana band, if you want to put a name on it.
Yeah.
Just mix it all up.
Yeah.
Throw it in a pot.
That's it, man.
And turn the
heat
up.
We are trail mix, man.
Trail mix minus the raisins.
Trail mix.
No raisins.
You can keep the raisins.
Yeah. That's it. And, you know, that's cool because if you look at a lot of folks, you know, used to be, you know, you had – stations got to pick, and we've got them here at Intercom where, you know, we've got rock stations, we got pop stations, we got urban stations. But with the blending, you know, a lot of folks in their musical tastes, you know, where you can get stuff, and myself included, you get a variety of all that stuff, and you're like, well, I want to hear some jam up funk, and then I want to hear a good old country song, and then I may want to hear you know, something that's a little more on the rock
classic
lines.
Rock.
I want to hear the King of Polka for a song or two. You know?
so that is awesome. And you guys, you look like you have a lot of fun when you're on stage. I know there's a lot of preparation and all that goes into that, but it seems like you guys, you know, you see some groups that, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, another day at work. But you guys, for all the traveling and stuff you do, you guys look like you have a good time.
You know, and, I mean, that is what I've told the guys in my band from day one. It's like, guys, when it stops being fun, we're gonna find something else. Because there are so many, you know, this life, that people get a misconception a lot of times about the music life. It is not an easy life to live. And if you don't love it, you will hate it. You know what I mean? It is a love-hate relationship. And I do it because I absolutely, it's in my blood, you know, it's in my bones, in the marrow, and I can't get away from it. I've tried before, and it, you know, it just draws me back in like a magnet. So if the minute I stop having fun doing it, it's the minute I find something else to do. So I definitely enjoy my time on stage standing behind a guitar.
Awesome. Now, Jake, if folks want to, you know, they want to get behind the band and follow you and go some of the places where you're going to be playing at, how can they find out? I know you guys have got a website. Is that the best place for information?
We do. We try and keep our website as up to date as possible. That's the Jake Bartley Band at Yahoo. TheJakeBartleyBand.com. You can shoot us an email if you want to know where we're going to be, and that's TheJakeBartleyBand@Yahoo.com. We have our Facebook page, and, you know, Jake Bartley Band on Facebook. We have a let's see. I'm going to not lie to you and say that I know all the stuff that we do because I'm not a technological guy. I know we got. I think we have a Twitter account and we have a Instagram account, so you can follow us on all social medias. You can check out our website that has the I will say fairly current tour dates on it. You know, stuff changes minute to minute, so we try and keep it as up to date as possible. But yeah, man, that's usually the best way to do it is either on social or on the website or shoot us an email.
That's great.
Awesome. Well, Jake, thanks for being on the show with us. Great, great guys, great band. You guys need to get out there and see them.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much, guys. I certainly appreciate it.
All right,
thank you.
Take care, bud.
Y'all too. See ya.
All right. Man, that's did a great job. Did a great job at the Lights on the Lake.
That's the first time that we've had a music person.
Yeah.
Like, come on the show.
Yeah, there you go. Variety
show.
Well,
as long as I've been listening. You know, obviously I'm new here, but, you know.
Well, we're late for our break, so we're going to go now and come back. We're going to wrap up our show with the calendar of events and our parting shot.
Awesome. Right here, 106.3 WORD.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow, what a great interview with Jake Bartley.
Something different.
Something different, yeah.
It's a holiday week.
Yeah, yeah. And they did a great job out there at Lights on the Lake. And like I said, it reminded me of Jimmy Buffett. I thought about getting a fishing rod out there.
What would Jimmy Buffett do?
Yeah.
No, never mind.
So in the meantime, he'd been on our calendar of events, so I felt like that was a good thing to cover.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, it is time for our calendar of events. Boat Girl, what you got over there?
We got just a couple. It is the dog days of summer, so. August 2nd, which is on Friday night, Evening in the Swamp 2 with Troy Landry. If y'all don't know who Troy Landry is, that's Troy from the Swamp People.
From the Swamp People, yeah.
Annual event for the Outdoor Dream Foundation. They are celebrating 15 years of making dreams come true. This event will feature dinner, live auctions, and drawings, and of course, Troy. It is at the Anderson Sports and Entertainment Center.
Anderson Civic Center.
I still can't get used to calling it that. It's always going to be the Civic Center.
Yep.
Which is at 3027 MLK Boulevard in Anderson. It is on Friday, August 2nd at 6:30 p.m. Tickets are $25 each in advance. For more info and tickets, contact Coach Harold Jones, 864-226-8775, or Frankie McClear, 864-630-9340, or email Brad at outdoordream.org. It's a great organization.
Awesome.
Also, we got a new one on the board.
Yeah, I found this on the door at the Ace Hardware in Woodruff.
Hey, there you go. You never know,
they
right?
They didn't send it in, but I got it.
Saturday, August 10th, Woodruff Baptist Association's Sportsman's Banquet. They're going to have dinner, prize giveaways, and guest speaker Michael Edmonds, who is a blind hunter who continues to hunt using adaptive equipment. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, we went to you got a lot of inspirational guys like that. Like we went to Clay Dyer.
Yeah, that was great.
I haven't heard him speak at Brush Creek, so
Michael will be giving his testimony about overcoming adversity that allows him to continue hunting. This is going to be held at Selma Baptist Church, which is at 851 Lawson Road in Woodruff.
Yep.
6 o'clock p.m., August 10th. Tickets are $10 for adults and $5 for children. For more info, contact Selma Baptist Church at 864-476-9788. That'd be something good to go to.
Yep.
And other than that, I don't know if anybody's shooting fireworks now or not. I think everybody's done fired them off.
Yep. You'll find your folks in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
After about 4 days, people are like, look, dude, give it a break.
Y'all stop shooting them things.
Yeah. Give it a break. Well, I guess now it's time for our parting shot. Well, we got another Florida story for you. Found this on outdoors360.com. It's about an alligator who's spreading the love. I don't know if that was a pop-up ad. I just read spreading the love, or if the alligator was spreading the love. A Clearwater, Florida woman realized an alligator had broken into her home after she found it thrashing around in her kitchen in the early morning. Mary Wishusen thought her new air conditioner was acting up when she heard a loud noise after waking up at 3:30 in the morning to go to the bathroom. Been there, done that. Two or three times a night now. Imagine her shock when she came face to face with an 11-foot alligator rummaging around in her kitchen. Why is she going to the kitchen? She got to go to the bathroom.
She had to get some water.
Oh, okay. Didn't it say that?
Did it get in through the dog door?
It doesn't say. She says, I heard this huge monstrous crash like the whole roof was falling in on the side of the house. She said, I headed for the kitchen. Okay, that's why she's going to the kitchen. She heard a noise. I headed for the kitchen. As I got to the door of the kitchen, I had this beautiful face staring at me as though he belonged there. She must be
animal. Just make yourself at home, yeah. Mr. Alligator.
This 11-foot gator was having a marvelous time sitting in my kitchen. And I got video of it from CBS this morning. He's just kind of hanging out there in the kitchen. That it managed to gain entry by smashing through a low-level window, where it proceeded to ruin everything in its path. And it says, breaking in was the only thing the alligator had in mind. It wasted no time in going for the wine that she had stored in the cupboard there, and it smashed right through them. I don't think it drank the wine. I think it just smashed it up. Maybe it rolled
in it. Coincidental.
Yeah. It says, she said, it's all over the floor, but she wasn't going to fight the alligator for ruining her favorite reds. I decided I wasn't staying there, so I went back to my bedroom and closed the door and called the police. I was hyperventilating a little, so what I did was I went on the computer and played games to settle down. Hey, what you doing? Anybody want to play World of Warcraft? I got an alligator.
I got an alligator.
Yeah, I got an alligator in the kitchen. Authorities escorted Wishusen, the lady, out the back when they arrived, and they spent the next 2 hours getting the alligator out. She said she's seen plenty of alligators during her almost 40 years at her home, and this is just the first time one's ever made a house call. And says having an alligator break into the house isn't ideal. However, at the end of the day, she's just happy to have gotten out without anybody getting hurt. Said he could have come right after me. I'm very happy he didn't do that.
He came in the window?
Yep.
Really?
Like in those Florida houses that they've got.
Yeah, you know, down there in Florida.
Yeah. Don't have one of them. Yeah.
I was thinking it was a doggy door.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear about weird stuff getting in doggy doors all the time. Yeah. Raccoons, squirrels.
Yeah. Small alligator might get, unless you got a big dog.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Alligator.
I've heard of deer, like small deer, like fawns, getting in through a medium-sized dog door.
Really?
Most of the time, deer get into a house.
They're going to make a mess, an alligator.
It's through a sliding glass door.
Screen door.
I mean, they don't see the glass, and they bust through.
Ooh.
And then you usually got a bleeding deer that's all over
it's
the house.
Freaking out.
Yeah. Alligator. Alligator's a little tougher than that, so.
Man.
Anyway.
In the kitchen.
Yep. So.
It's always in Florida, isn't it?
Yeah, always. That's where you get your Florida man stories from.
A lot of content out of Florida.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, if it weren't for Florida. Yeah. Yeah, just wait. And it's always interaction with the
something
wildlife.
Yeah,
either that or people just being dumb with wildlife there.
True statement.
So we're running out of time here, and just want to thank everybody for listening to Upstate Outdoors again this week, and also want to thank our guest Marty Robinson, local angler, for being on the show, and of course Jake Bartley, from the Jake Bartley Band, and. Yeah. Yeah, so also I just want to remind folks, if you want to email us, you can do so at upstateoutdoors@1063WORD.com. And until next week, Philip Gentry and Boat Girl signing off. Y'all get outside and hydrate.
Yes,
hydrate.
It's hot.
Yeah, it's hot. Stay hydrated. So see you next week. Stay tuned. John and Chuck are up next.
Right here, 1063WORD.
Bye, y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.